Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Coming up in today's podcast, we have an interview with Ann Filmer, Joni Schultz, and Marilyn Campbell from this year's Estrogen Festival, or EstFest. They will be talking to Ann Nicholson Weber about the festival, and I think you're going to enjoy this interview. Also, we have an audio review of My Children, My Africa at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. And of course, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax and get ready to talk theater.
You're listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. I'm your host this week, Ann Nicholson Weber. I'm here today with Ann Filmer, Joni Schultz, and Marilyn Campbell, all of whom are involved with this year's Estrogen Fest, or EstFest. Ann and Joni are co-artistic directors this year. So we're going to talk about the festival, which starts next week.
It starts on Wednesday, May 16th.
Well, let's backtrack first and talk a little bit about what it is.
It is multiple acts, and we are featuring different mediums, right? So we are not just having theater, but we have dance and performance art and vaudeville and music, bands, comedy, visual art. Because we want to feature as many artists as possible, the acts tend to be short. So one can come any night of the fest. It runs for 10 nights straight, starting Wednesday, May 16. And if you come one of those nights, you will see anywhere from 7 to 9 acts that are about around 10 minutes each. And you will see all of those different mediums. Mm-hmm. So we don't put the theater together or put the dance together, because what we also want to do is cross-pollinate audiences. We really want, hopefully, people to get out of their comfort zone and maybe turn them on to a new art form that they wouldn't normally venture out to see. Right.
So it's sort of like the old variety show. I mean, there's...
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it's focused around women. Mm-hmm. And what is on the minds of female artists. The pieces are not about what it is to be a female, because that's a little boring, and that marginalizes us, right. I think. But it's actually what is on the minds of female artists, or what's on the minds of male artists when they think about women.
Yeah, exactly. Because there are men involved as artists in the festival.
We are a male-friendly Estrogen Fest. One of our big premises is that there is no male bashing in the Estrogen Fest, and that's really, really important to us, because being proud of being a woman and discussing being a woman does not have to centralize around relationships with men and how we feel about those. And I feel like too often when you go see a film or a play that's women-based, a chick flick, if you will, they're always so much about who am I dating, how's our relationship going. And I watch Sex and the City, you know, I understand, but I think that there's just so much more to us than
our men.
Yes.
Well, Marilyn, would you talk a little bit, because I know you've had pieces in the festival. What is your piece this year? Maybe you could start there.
Well, it's a continuation of a piece that we started in 2005. My daughter and I got together and decided that we wanted to do something about single motherhood. We wanted to celebrate that a little bit. My children are also of mixed race, so that's, again, another part of what we're doing. It's unique in that my daughter's mixed and I'm Caucasian, and so we can kind of talk around the whole subject matter and say pretty much anything we want to.
So what form does the piece take?
Well, being language-based, being from working at Writers' Theater and writing a lot of adaptations and poetry plays, we're trying to kind of stick with sort of a spoken word format. We're trying to lift it a little bit, make it a little poetic, so it's not just about a story, but it's also about language and language-based.
So are you, I mean, but is it, are you sitting in chairs just talking? Or
no, we really actually consider ourselves kind of stand-up comedians.
I see.
It's been one of our dreams when Maria was growing up to be stand-up comedians together. So we're sort of realizing that dream.
So that's an example of one kind of piece that's in this year's show.
Exactly.
And Joni, maybe you could mention some others that are different than that, just to give an idea of the range of the festival?
Sure. We have, we have several theater pieces, one of which our co-artistic director, Anne Fulmer, is in.
Oh, no.
She's been solely directing for quite some time, but it's a piece called, will you say the...
It's called Sawero.
About a woman who dates a cactus. And they have a very strong relationship, and it's very funny.
Yeah, and it's all about pain. It basically takes a relationship from the very beginning where they meet at an engagement party, and they're the only two singles there, and then takes it through the, you know, takes it through all aspects of the relationship, and then, of course, its inevitable demise. And she does end up getting hurt by the cactus, but he survives because that's what cacti do.
Who is that piece by?
It's by Philip Dawkins.
Is he a Chicagoan?
He is. He is. Actually, most of the artists, I mean, they're not all original Chicagoans, but most of them are very active in the Chicago arts, and Philip is one of them. He is an actor as well as a playwright, and I think he may have graduated from Loyola, but he's starting to get out there more on the fringe right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you find your pieces?
Well, we actually take submissions. I mean, we also have built up, I guess, a huge list of artists that we just love. We go out to theater, we go and see dance, and we go and see visual art. And, you know, what jumps out as us as being something unique and something we want to highlight. And but then finally this year, I feel, don't you, Joni, that we like broke free from just being limited by kind of the people we know and have access to, to finally, because we're 5 years, you know, this is our fifth festival, that we were able to reach people, thank goodness for the internet, and people actually found us. And so really we take submissions, and how many do we get?
We got a lot of submissions this year.
Maybe 100 or something that we got. And then we kind of break it down. We kind of remove the pieces that are like, what? You actually think this is Estrogen Fest? Congratulations, you have one woman in your play. That does not make it Estrogen Fest. I mean, it's crazy. So we kind of get rid of those. And then we interviewed the other artists because we're interested not just in their little snippet. You know, 10 minutes is not very long to feature an artist, right? So really what we want to do is get to know the artist and the work they're trying to do. And is this something they're venturing out of their comfort zone as an artist? Or is this the essence of what they do?
What's the right answer?
Oh, there is no, there is no right answer. No, it's different for every artist. It's different for every artist. And but another aspect of the festival this year, which we're really excited about, is we really want to make it a dialogue. We actually want to engage the audience more and engage the artists with each other, so that artists can challenge each other, inspire, provoke. And how we're doing that is after you come to like the 7:30 show and you've seen your eight acts of various mediums, then all the artists get up on stage together and we have a dialogue and we talk about their art, what it is they do. Because hopefully we're going to turn on audience members. You know, they may see Marilyn Campbell, or they may see performance artist Rachel Thorne Germond of RTG Dance and say, I want to see more of that. I've never seen that before.
I think one of the other great things about Estrogen Fest, which has been for me over the years, is this idea of cross-pollination. We have I've worked with other artists on other projects that I met through the festival that I never would have, you know, done before or had any idea of working with, worked with a dancer on a separate project, and other artists that I've met, people that I didn't know until I did the festival. And it was I think that's a really important aspect of what we do, is just introducing women to one another and creating, you know, lasting relationships and other projects
that lead to other artistic collaborations.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one question, you talked about being on the fringe, and that seems to be a point of pride in a way. And I'm interested to know, maybe this is a good question for Marilyn to start with anyway, because you've worked in, been importantly involved at Writers Theatre, which I would not define as a fringe theater. You know, what are the differences for you as an artist in working on the fringe? What's better about it? What's not so good? And what? How do you even define it?
Well, on the fringe, that's really Annie's definition in a way. But
Speak to what you think.
But right. Well, Writers' Theater. I mean, obviously, we do a certain kind of work up there. It's very traditional. It's based in the classics. It's based in literature. And for me as an artist to be able to kind of get away from that and do my own thing has been just tremendously, it's just been valuable for me.
I think that being on the fringe allows for more experimentation in what it is that we do. The Estrogen Fest, the previous two festivals had been at the Storefront Theater, which is a City of Chicago space, and it's a beautiful, beautiful theater. And we were very, very privileged to be there. But it also pushed us, and I don't think that the Storefront meant this, but I think that we sort of collectively started moving towards a more polished festival. Mm-hmm. And in the long run, what we decided was actually we needed it to be a little more messy. We needed a little bit more room to get crazy and have a festival. Mm-hmm. We were starting to create what was really a good show. It was a great show. The 2005 show was fantastic, but it was very smooth. It was very polished. And we were taking this opportunity to not just be more edgy in the work, but to break down the barrier more between audience and performer. Yeah.
So are you saying it's it becomes more about the process than the product? In other words, it's okay to see it midstream? Is that when you say messy, is that what you mean? Or
well, I definitely don't want to connote that we're letting work go up that's not good or finished. Because whatever phase the work, I mean, it might be part of something larger that somebody's working on, and that's what we're hoping to hear in some of the conversations, but all the work is still going to be top quality. But I think that part of being on the fringe, and we're in a smaller space, and so there's not this massive backstage where all the performers can run and hide and then come out and do their piece and keep that invisible fourth wall thing going.
We were also a little censored at the Storefront. We had a beautiful floor. Can I speak to this?
Sure.
That was in a fatigue pattern, like an army fatigue pattern, but it was done in pink, and the fatigue pattern was actually female bodies that were painted in a very sort of general way, but the floor was censored and
they
had
didn't
to be
like the color pink.
They didn't. Well, it was also they didn't like. We had to cover it up when they brought their students
boobies.
In to perform.
It was too explicit.
It was, but it was, you know, it wasn't. So you know, there was a little bit of an onus, like Annie said, to be very professional, very polished, and so this opportunity again is going to give us an opportunity to do more exploration in sort of a freer environment.
Well, that brings up, I think, kind of an interesting question, which is the problem there was that the space was for an audience that wasn't always the right audience. Isn't that right? I mean, students, if you couldn't do the work as you wanted to do it for that audience, then
well, it was just
the right
actually
audience?
That space was used by many different groups, and that was probably more the issue because, of course, during our show, you know, we weren't
censored in any way.
No.
We could do whatever we want, and the floor was there.
It was really
I misunderstood. Yeah, I thought you were saying that even when students came to your show,
it was just
an interesting conversation to have because it never occurred to us that the floor was in any way pornographic. I mean, for showing female form, which includes breasts, it just never occurred to us. So that was just kind of like, oh, okay. I mean, and it was not a problem, you know, and we covered it because we don't want children seeing breasts.
Right.
We had very good audiences there.
We did.
And what's been fantastic about the Estrogen Fest to me is we are doing, and even at our most polished, we're doing work that comes up to the edge a little. We talk about sex and we talk about our hormones and all these things. Well, we don't just talk about them, we dance about them and whatever. Anyway, our audiences, you know, these women that I see coming from all over from Chicago, from the suburbs, from different races, from different ages.
And even tourists that were in Chicago.
Right. Well, that was great about that space in particular. Mm-hmm. Who all come out and all have a great time because they can all identify with something in it. And some things are pushing their buttons and a little, oh my, I've never seen that before. But then there's something that makes them feel a little bit more comfortable. And so our audience became very mixed as far as demographic.
Yeah, and we had a lot of couples, and we always have had a lot of men. I've always been surprised at how many couples come to see the Estrogen Fest. And then we've had people come in from Michigan who have kind of like followed us over the years, mm-hmm. you know, that just seem, you know, maybe just very conservative people. But I think it's just exciting for them to see maybe work that, again, they normally would not venture out to see. And it's safe enough because we're not asking them to sit through like 2 hours of one piece. You know, it changes over every 10 minutes. So if you really something you're really not digging, it's going to be over soon.
Right.
Right. So you really get a little of everything. Uh-huh. And there are some great dance pieces in there. Chicago Moving Company, who's been around 30 years, run by Nana Scheinflug. You know, so there's definitely pieces that aren't pushing buttons, you know, it's because it's really not about that.
Purpose,
it's whatever
right.
is on the mind of female artists, whether they want to push or whether they want to lay back and explore.
Well, talk about the process of creating a program, of creating a particular evening of stuff, you know, how you put it together. What are the considerations as you decide what goes first, what goes last, what's this night, what's another night?
It's funny, we've just been working on this.
Right, right. Last piece.
This year we have 10 different programs, and each night has a different theme or title, if you will. And we've tried to put together evenings that have the best mixes also of different kinds of things, of mixes of funny work and serious work, of very literary work and dance, and trying to mix it up that way while having maybe a through line, hopefully, mm-hmm. with these themes that we've come up with.
But don't you think it was interesting, like, this year, the way we, and I don't remember if we did it like this in the past, but we, you know, we didn't set out, we didn't have the themes to start with. We collected the work mm-hmm. first because, again, we want the artists to tell us what they're thinking of. And then we, like, sat on my living room floor and we laid out all these index cards with the name of the piece and the artist and how long it was and what the essence of the piece was. And then we started to see themes
emerging.
Through, right. So we thought, oh, we have a night of political work. Mm-hmm. We should throw that together.
Mm-hmm.
And or we have a work of elements, you know, some work about fire and water and earth that we decided to put those together.
Which program is that? What's that called?
That's Elemental Estrogen. That's on Sunday, May 20th. But I think it'll be interesting because each piece performs more than once. So each act, 10-minute act or so, gets two performances over the course of the 10 nights.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if a piece is on political night, how it feels different than when it's on elemental night or
so the context.
A workplace. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Monday night, May 21st. Yeah, is a work that estrogen. So it's related to the workplace. And
You know, so I think that'll be a really interesting conversation to have of when a theme is thrown onto something, how does the audience take that? Maybe a political piece doesn't seem so political when it's not labeled as such. Won't that be interesting?
And we have an evening called Male Estrogen or Men on Women. And we have a special guest MC that we're very excited about, Will Klinger from Wild Chicago. He doesn't do Wild Chicago anymore, does he?
No,
that's just how I think of him.
Right, that's how I think of him, too.
Right. Is our special guest MC that night. And those are all, it's mostly theater that night because it's plays written by men about women. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to hear the men talk afterwards about writing about women and creating work about women and how that's different for them or not different for them.
Right. Or something they normally do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, are there, it seems that the festival has grown a lot from the first time to this. In fact, this seems like almost a quantum leap from what I can see comparing it 2005, the number of programs, the number of nights, the ambition beyond just the programs, I mean, the performances. How does that happen? What fuels it to grow?
Wow. Well, this just partially came out of how generous the Prop Theater has been in helping us out. And they co-produced the festival and they've given us the entire space, which is two theaters. There's an upstairs like apartment area. There's a backyard. And they've given that to us for the entire 10 days that we've decided to do the fest. And Anne and I really wanted to make it more of a festival this year. And by that, I mean the way we've condensed it into 10 days instead of doing weekend runs as though it was a show. Mm-hmm. And really putting together this weekend of estrogen that we have. So it really just came out of circumstances in some ways.
And also in wanting to involve more dialogue. And, it's funny. I'm like trying to think always what to call it besides a festival. I mean, it's a happening. It's also kind of like a conference because we are discussing a lot, but I wouldn't want to call it a conference because that sounds a little, academic. Although we have many academics that are involved, it's a little of everything, but this bonus dose weekend on Saturday, May 19 and 20, every hour and a half, we have a workshop or a panel. Mm-hmm. So one could come that weekend and they could take a writing the solo show class by Arlene Malinowski, who's a resident playwright at Chicago Dramatists. They could take a Movin' Like Elvis, which is hilarious. Rachel Thorne Gurman, who I mentioned earlier, is going to actually show video of Elvis, and men and women can take this, of course, and then she's going to kind of break down his movements and teach us all how to move like Elvis. We also have a woman, Mercedes Gomez, who's with Chicago Hoop Dance, who's actually a yoga instructor. But she also has this really interesting idea of yoga as being very linear and more masculine. And she uses actually hooping, with a hula hoop to explore a more feminine workout side, which is really interesting. I never thought of that concept before. And she's going to be around on Saturday during the day after her morning yoga class at 10:30 in the morning to show people how to hula hoop.
A lot of doing as well as watching.
Right, right. So we really, we're hoping what people will do is take advantage of the fact that there are things that you can browse for free. There's visual art. There's also crafters, so a little shopping. And that actually can kind of get the vibe, the happening, and really explore kind of what's out there.
Well, why don't you talk about some really great things that have happened at past festivals, not necessarily great performances, although that could be part of it, but things that have come out of it or, just good moments.
Well, one of the things that we had talked about earlier, one of my favorite things that we did was in 2003 was Yellow Wallpaper.
Oh, yes.
By Jessica Thebus and Laurie Larson adapted it. But the most fun about it was getting a large group of women. We tried to get about 100. I think we wound up with about 40, 45.
I think, almost 50.
And everybody dressed in yellow. Everybody came in their own costumes, but they had to be yellow from feet to dress to sometimes hair even. Mm-hmm. And we had a large group of women moving together, and it was the most magical event that that well, one of the things for me that was just really special and stood out, and Anne had made it a point this year to say that she didn't want any more solo pieces, people performing by themselves. That it's more interesting if we can get groups of women working together on projects, mm-hmm. because I do think sometimes actors tend. A lot of people, artists, will tend to, you know, want to do their insular thing and their thing by themselves.
And frankly, a lot of women's festivals tend to be
monologues.
One woman monologues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as if we are not communicating with each other. What's that all about?
Right.
Another thing that we did in 2003, which is one of, for me, the highlights of this festival, was we had three programs that year. Each ran for 2 weeks. We got 6 weeks. And for each of the programs, Anne choreographed a opening number, which featured all the women that were in the show that night. And first of all, it's just amazing to get all these women together in a room and get them doing a goofy dance together. But to get, like,
and
real
singing.
Dancers and then, like, those of us who don't.
Right. Yeah. It's always been about really getting these women together. You know, so not keeping us just in our little boxes doing things, you know, solitary, but don't you think?
Oh, no. Absolutely. And that's an Ann Filmer idea, really, to get all those people to agree to do those things. Uh-huh, certainly, uh-huh. I'm not a dancer, but I gave it my best shot, and it wasn't too bad, actually. I enjoyed myself.
Well, that's interesting. How does the audience starting the evening that way, what does that do to the audience and the way they receive more serious work after that?
Well, I think that it starts by acknowledging that that we're not going to take ourselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. I think that part of someone's mm-hmm. fear in going to something like the Estrogen Fest might be that they're going to come see a bunch of women complain. Perhaps, or
cry.
No crying,
no male bashing.
No victims.
And that, or that it's going to be some sort of I'm woman, hear me roar festival where.
Angry.
Well, yeah, angry.
Angry, bitter.
Right. Whereas I think that if you do something like we did in 2003 with the opening numbers, we're starting it out saying, we're women, we're taking this seriously, but still, like, we have a sense of humor about it.
Right, like the work is meaningful, but we're not precious about it. You know, we always want it to be fun because it is, like, going back to what you were saying, like, is it more pieces and is it about the process or the product? And, I mean, it's, I guess, neither and both because we always want it, it always needs to be entertaining. You do not start with, ooh, how do we make entertainment? Because that's what, like, Hollywood does. But what we start with is actually how do we, you know, what are we interested in exploring? And then how do we make that entertaining mm-hmm. to each other and to an audience?
Yeah, that's something I'm thinking about as I'm listening to this, is that you're hosting an audience. So you're putting on an event that's meant to be seen and be a good experience to be seen. But it sounds like you're also putting a lot of emphasis on what the experience is like for the artists in a way that might be a little different from a more, I don't know, mainstream play that's all about creating something that you put out there that has a particular effect on the audience. Is that right?
I think you're right about that. I think you're right. Yeah, it goes beyond... we're not just interested in a piece of work. We're interested in the person that is developing, exploring mm-hmm. that piece mm-hmm. of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's quickly, because we're running out of time, just talk about maybe two of the themes that came out of the stuff that was submitted and that you looked at, and a couple of the pieces that illustrate those themes, just to give people a flavor.
Sure. Well, we do have this night, Friday, May 18th, called Obsessive Estrogen. And I thought that actually ended up being a really interesting night to put together. It's all the pieces in it are based around somebody obsessing about something for some reason. And some of them are a little bit lighter. such as the piece we talked about, the Philip Dawkins piece, The Woman with the Cactus. Some of them are a little more serious, such as Rachel Thorne Gurman and RTG Dance's Double Judy, in which she and another dancer, who's her partner's name?
Bevan Ross, I think.
Both dressed as Judy Garland. But Judy Garland going through her more difficult times, mm-hmm. And her problems with drinking, and it starts off very funny and gets very dark very mm-hmm. quickly, mm-hmm. and it's really, really an intriguing piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's pieces like the Chicago Moving Company is doing Quirk, which is an interesting kind of competition between three dancers. It's very playful, but it's also strong mm-hmm. and athletic. And actually, and one of them is a man, Jeremy Wilson, and then it's Rachel Bunting and Mindy Myers. And but it's the movement is very quirky.
What makes that one connect to the theme of obsession?
I think because they seem to be obsessed with competing with each other and obsessed with kind of one-upping uh-huh. the other one.
Uh-huh.
And then we have another kind of playful piece that's kind of in the same vein, like Erica Burkhart mm-hmm. and Matisse Duhon, I think it is, Homo Neurotic, where she... This is just so interesting. It's like a vaudeville piece.
It is.
You explain it.
She plays the electric guitar and he juggles. And then sometimes she participates in the juggling, but he's just so focused, and she's always sort of messing him up in some way.
uh-huh. Right, uh-huh. and he seems to be maybe a little obsessed with her, or, you know, he's right. like trying to show off with the juggling, and she's just trying to play her guitar.
Uh-huh.
It's a very, you know, it's a very funny piece.
Huh. Interesting. Well, then why don't you just, one of you, remind us that the festival is where and runs when?
Yeah, here's the most important thing. It's really the website, because the website has all the comprehensive information schedule, and you can actually read profiles of the artists, so you can kind of know what you're getting into, and then you can choose your night based on the type of artist you want to see. And the website is www.estfest.org. So estfest.org. So you don't have to type the word estrogen. All you have to do is, which is good, estfest.org. And then the dates of the festival are May 16 through 25 at Prop Theater. And that's 3502 North Elston. And a phone number for tickets. You can buy tickets online at estfest.org. Or you can call 773-539-7838.
Well, thanks so much, Ann Filmer, Joni Schultz, and Marilyn Campbell for the Estrogen Fest.
Thank you.
Ann.
Chicago, and welcome to another EST episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of May 14th, 2007. The national tour of the Broadway hit musical Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is on its way to Chicago. That's right, it will be coming to Chicago's Auditorium Theater on Roosevelt University starting on July 31st. The cast of the national tour of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels includes Tony-nominated actor Tom Hewitt as the con man Lawrence Jameson. He is joined by D.B. Bonds, who plays Freddie Benson. The cast also includes Chicago stage favorites such as Hollis Resnick, Drew McVetti, and Jennifer Foote. Scoundrels features the music and lyrics of David Yazbek, who you may remember his work from other such Broadway hit musicals as The Full Monty. The show was directed by Jack O'Brien, who directed Hairspray and Damn Yankees, and the choreography will be by Jerry Mitchell of Hairspray fame. Tickets for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels will go on sale Friday, June 1st at 10 o'clock in the morning and will be available at the Broadway in Chicago box offices. For more information, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. A new block of tickets for Chicago's Wicked are now available. That's right, Chicago's hit show is now entering its third year of sold-out performances at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, aka the Oriental Theater. The record-breaking Chicago company has enabled a new block of tickets for purchase. The new tickets are for the performances that begin on July 31st and go through November. Now, this is a popular show which sells out fast, so if you haven't gotten your ticket in the new block that just became available, you need to get your tickets today. Northlight Theater will be continuing its 32nd season with Fire on the Mountain, a musical featuring authentic dancing and live fiddles and a banjo. The show will be directed by artistic director B.J. Jones and executive director Timothy J. Evans, and is about the lives of coal miners in the Appalachian Mountains. The production was co-created by Randall Myler and Daniel Wheatman, who star in the show. The show runs through June 17th at the Northlight Theater up in Skokie, Illinois. And if you want a little taste of what you're going to hear, you need to click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. There you can hear a sample of five of their songs streaming straight from the website. It's a pretty good toe-tapping and spiritual experience, which you should enjoy. So remember, that's Fire on the Mountain running through June 17th at the Northlight Theater in Skokie, Illinois. The documentary film Show Business: The Road to Broadway is making its Chicago premiere at the Music Box Theater on Friday, June 8th. The film by Dore Berenstein features the Broadway cast and creators of Wicked, Avenue Q, Taboo, and Caroline or Change. Show Business: The Road to Broadway features many stars of the Broadway stage, including Rosie O'Donnell, Boy George, Alan Cumming, Sarah Jessica Parker, John Lithgow, Kristen Chenoweth, and Idina Menzel. And if you would like to see a preview of Show Business: The Road to Broadway, you need to click on over to my favorite webpage. That's right, the theater news site of Theater in Chicago. There you can stream a video preview of the film straight from the website. Remember, that's Show Business: The Road to Broadway having its Chicago premiere at the Music Box Theater on Friday, June 8th. Well, thank you very much for listening to this EST episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from As You Like It, Act 4, Scene 1. A woman's thought runs before her actions. Well, thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You are listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast, My Children, My Africa, by Atoll Fugard, directed by Cecil O'Neill at Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater. Review by Tom Williams. The return to Victory Gardens Theater from one of the original eight founding members, Cecil O'Neill, the show's director, marks the mounting of a strong and beautifully written anti-apartheid play by South African playwright Atoll Fugard. This three-character play features superb work from all three, especially from TV star Clarence Gilliard, also one of the show's producers, and stellar work from Beethoven Odin as Tommy and Blair Robertson as Isabel. It's 1984 in South Africa at a Bantu school in the Black Area. Mr. M., played by Clarence Gilliard in a movingly powerful turn, is a self-professed old-fashioned black high school teacher. He defies the system through imparting as much knowledge as possible as a means to lift the blacks through gradual change. His star pupil, Tommy, is an idealistic, even-tempered lad whose interest in social change grows from idealist to action-oriented. Mr. M staunchly sticks to advocating change through the power of words and books, education. When he arranges a debate with a white school that sends a female high school student, Isabel, Tommy earns the respect and friendship of the white girl. Mr. M truly believes social change will come through understanding and reason. This debate is the first step. But the radical and impatient black youth movement decides to protest the shady education in the Black Bantu education system. Mr. M turns informer in a misguided attempt to prevent trouble which could threaten his beloved schools. An extracurricular literacy competition allows Tommy and Isabel to work together as a team. The event is derailed by the boycott. The show contains vivid literary references and social and political debates through rich monologues as well as well-crafted dialogue. Clarence Gilliard's Mr. M unfolds as a valiant but tragically naive character with whom we grow to love and admire. Tommy struggles with his respect and loyalty to his mentor and his commitment to the Black Freedom Movement. Isabel struggles to maintain her understanding and friendship with Tommy and her love for Mr. M. Fugard has penned a masterwork filled with rich and unique characters that play out not as stereotypical but tragically flawed, but always truthfully real people who are put into situations beyond their control. This is a brilliant show filled with powerful performances that will move you deeply. Clarence Gilliard is tremendously empathetic. I give this a highly recommended rating. My Children, My Africa by Atoll Fugard, directed by Cecil O'Neill, at Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, located at 2257 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Shows now running through June 10th. For tickets and more information, call 773-871-3000.
Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Ann Filmer, Joni Schultz, and Marilyn Campbell for giving us the honor of interviewing them this week. I would also like to thank Ann Nicholson-Weber and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.